Members, I'm going to call this meeting of the State Government Finance and Elections Conference Committee to order. And good morning, members. And we'll start out with Ms. Spreck taking the roll.
Chair Nelson.
I'm present.
Chair Kiffmeyer.
Present.
Representative Nash.
Present.
Senator Carlson. Representative Greenman.
Present.
Senator Howe. Senator Curran.
Present.
Senator Lang.
Present.
Representative Mason.
Present.
Representative Zhang.
Present.
Senator Carlson.
Present.
Senator Howe, the quorum is present.
Thank you, Ms. Spreck. And members, over the weekend, we've worked out, we're going to be doing the stuff that we've agreed to on the same and similars, putting it, package it together as a conference committee report. So we get this part of it out of the way. Rumors are that they're close to getting targets. When we get those there, even if we got had gotten those yesterday, there would have been no way to do the appropriations pieces of this. So we're going to be setting this out. Senator Kiffmeyer and I agreed to do this, send this out. It's the same and similar stuff that we agreed to, minus the vets piece that we both decided to hold out for various reasons. But to start out with, members, before we can release the report, because we included this in the report, there's an amendment we have to take up. It should have been in your packet of information from yesterday. It's the SCH 1952A44 amendment. And basically what this amendment does is it allows the state to access the funds for the three new veterans homes in Preston, Montevideo, and Bemidji, and allow them to spend those money to get those homes built. And that's non-general fund money. It's federal dollars that have already been released to us. And so, Senator Kiffmeyer, do you want to make the motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will move the adoption of the A44 amendment to House File Conference Committee Report 1952.
Members, are there any questions of the motion? Any questions on the amendment? I see no hands jumping up. With that, if everybody wants to unmute for a second, we can take a vote. All in favor of the A44 amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. The motion prevails. Members, with that, now you should be receiving in your inbox and on your computer the conference committee report, and I will walk through that. So members can
Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was wondering, I appreciate that you would be willing to walk through, but we could also have staff, Mr. Gehring or appropriate staff, Ms. James or Ms. Sangel on the appropriate sections.
That's a very good suggestion. So Mr. Gehring, Ms. James, you want to do that, Mr. Gehring?
Mr. Chair and Senator Kiffmeyer, do you want a section-by-section walkthrough of the conference report, or what type of walkthrough would you like?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to do a section-by-section. It doesn't need to be long. We've heard this before, but I think just a section-by-section so members can follow along, and whether it's Ms. James or Mr. Gehring or they can share it, that would be great.
Mr. Gehring.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Ms. James and I will probably go back and forth a bit as we go through.
And you want to introduce yourself too, just for proper tape.
Yep. Mr. Chair, Matt Gehring from the House Research Department.
I'm Stephanie James from Senate Counsel.
Thank you.
So the Conference Committee report that you have in front of you is labeled CCR HF 1952 in the upper right-hand corner. The first article in the bill is this general state government policy article. Section 1 there is the identical language between the House and the Senate that provides that the Legislative Reference Library gets access to documents at no cost. Section 2 is the language that you've adopted that specifies the jurisdiction of the LCC. Sections 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 are all the sections of the bill that relate to the work of the Office of the Legislative Auditor, including the language with the amendment that you adopted restricting staff of the Legislative Auditor's Office from running for a partisan elected public office. Section 9 is the section that cleans up the language related to the Clean Water Fund because that language is now obsolete. And Section 10 is the section that relates to the Department of Administration that specifies their building jurisdiction. Ms. James, do you want to start with Section 11?
Sure. Mr. Chair and members, Section 11 establishes a capital flag program for eligible people who have been killed in the line of duty. It does not include the flags for the canines killed in service. The next section 12, is the provision that allows handlers to take possession of dogs, state service dogs, after the dogs are retired. Section 13 eliminates obsolete duties for the commissioner of administration. This item was the same in both bills. Sections 14 and 15 are provisions from the Department of Administration's bill related to motor pools. These were the same in both bills. Section 16 through 23 are the provisions that relate to the historic sites. This was in the Department of Administration's bill, and these are the provisions that were the same in both bills. Section 24 is the measure from the Gambling Control Board to allow members to serve until a successor is appointed. Section 25 is the item that you just adopted in the amendment to the side-by-side, which is the appropriation by law of federal funds for the veterans' homes. And then Section 26 is a reviser instruction that is related to the motor pools, and Section 27 is a repealer for the legislative auditor for obsolete reports that they were required to do.
And Mr. Chair, as we close out this article, just a couple of sections I want to highlight that are not included here that the committee previously considered for inclusion. One is the policy language that relates to the single source audit, transferring that responsibility to the Commissioner of Management and Budget. That is not included in this article. On the side-by-side, that's House Section 6, Senate Section 13, on page R6, if you want to refer to that language. The next section that is not included, but the committee previously discussed, is the recognition of India Day. That's page R12 of the side-by-side, House Section 16, Senate Section 22. And then lastly, the language that authorizes the Commissioner of Management and Budget to enact a virtual payments program. That's on page R22 of the side-by-side, House 21, and Senate Section 36. And those sections are removed because of some cost questions and some other issues that came up.
Members, any questions on the first article before we head on? Seeing no hands popping up. Ms. James, Mr. Gehring, if you want to proceed.
Mr. Chair and members, Article 2 is the information technology article. And what you see here is the entirety of the administrative and technical changes bill. These sections all relate to the reorganization and renaming of the Department of Minute Services to the Department of Information Technology Services. The sections that you previously saw that are not included here are the two sections that establish the Legislative Commission on Cybersecurity, and that is not included due to some potential cost issues that weren't quite ready for this policy only draft.
Members, any questions on Article 2? And then Ms. James, if you want to start with Article 3.
Mr. Chair, I'll pass the baton to my colleague, Alexa Stengel.
Ms. Stengel, please identify yourself and then proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Alexa Stengel, Senate Counsel. And I think Mr. Gehring and I will sort of toss this one back and forth. Let's see. The first section for Article 3 is the Elections Article. And many of these provisions came out of the Secretary of State bill and are relatively minor or technical in nature. So I'll sort of speed through them. And if there are questions, Mr. Gehring and I will be happy to answer them. Section 1 amends the definition of military to allow students at the military academy to use UOCAVA provisions. Section 2 has to do with absentee lists of absentee voters being made public in the same manner as other public information lists. And the same with Section 3. Section 4 corrects terminology. There are a series of sections, I should say, that correct terminology relating to ballot envelopes. Section 4 and 5 are, 4, 5, and 6 are all sections that do that. And Section 7 requires candidates that ask for write-in votes to be counted that are for president, vice president to be counted have to be done jointly, filed jointly. Section 8 requires ballots for a special election to include a space for write-ins. Section 9 and 10 have to do with organized and unorganized towns and unorganized territory. They're allowed to have shorter election hours, and if they do so, they must notify the Secretary of State. Section 11 allows election judges to presume the prepackaged sealed ballots are correct numbers when they're counting them at the end of the day. Section 12 requires election judges to deliver one set of summary statements instead of two. Section 13 specifies the filing period for a recount after a special or primary election. Section 14 has to do with formatting, and there are a series of these sections, has to do with formatting ballots when there are a regular and special election for the same office, and how do you order those on the ballot. Section 15 is a similar section. Section 16 prohibits holding elections on a holiday or during the 4 days before or after the holiday. Section 17 requires a notice of contest to be filed within 2 days after the canvass is completed. Section 18 and 19 again have to do with order of things on a ballot relating to U.S. Senator when both of the offices are on the same ballot. Section 20 corrects a cross-reference. Section 21 and 22 set the standards for when additional review is needed for election equipment after the election. Section 23 makes a technical change about the ballot title change and requiring it to be the same, whether it's an even or odd numbered year. There are a series of sections coming up in 24 and 25 that make conforming corrections to the presidential primary to make sure that it only applies to participating parties and doing some cleanup language from a change that was made in 2019. Section 26 requires a person elected at a special election for a town to take their oath of office within 10 days of receiving their certificate of election. Section 27 specifies election laws apply to a city council vacancy. And that wraps up Article 3, and I think Mr. Gehring can take Article 4.
Before we go, anybody have questions on Article 3, the elections piece? Seeing no hands popping up. Article 4, Mr. Gehring.
Mr. Chair, members, Article 4 is the campaign finance article, as previously adopted by the conference committee. Section 1 and a whole slew of sections in this article relate to the transfer of certain reporting requirements from Hennepin County candidates from the local reporting officer to the campaign finance board. Section 1 is the first of those sections. Section 2 is also related to the Hennepin County transfer, and Section 3 relates to the same topic. Section 4 relates to that same topic. Section 5 is the same topic. And 6 and 7 and 8 and 9. And Section 10 is the language that authorizes a candidate to use campaign funds for certain security-related expenses and report them as a non-campaign disbursement. There's the limit of $3,000. That has the effective date going back to January 1 of 2021. That was originally Senate language that was adopted. Section 11 is also a Hennepin County section. Section 12 is a Hennepin County section. Section 13, this article adds the officers of the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities to the definition of public official. That comes from the Campaign Finance Board's administrative bill. Sections 14, 15, 16, I believe 17, relate to the filing of statements of economic interest. These are updates that the board suggested to sort of reorganize the way that those statements are filed. Section 18 is related to the same topic. Section 19 of this article goes back to the Hennepin County transfer language. Section 20 is the same. Section 21 is also Hennepin County related. 22 is Hennepin County related. Section 23 was the Senate language the conference committee adopted that authorizes candidates and certain entities to submit alternate contact information to the Campaign Finance Board. Section 24 goes along with the Hennepin County transfer. Section 25 goes along with the Hennepin County transfer. Section 26 is the same. And 27 is the same. 28 comes from the Campaign Finance Board's technical bill. Section 29 also comes from the Campaign Finance Board technical bill related to unregistered association reports. Section 30 comes from the Campaign Finance Board technical bill related to the types of expenditures that involve types of communications that are reported as expenditures. Section 31 also comes from the Campaign Finance technical bill, and this is just a correction to a cross-reference. And Section 32 is the bulk of the Hennepin County transfer language that actually gives the substantive transfer requirements. Substantive reporting requirements for those candidates to the Campaign Finance Board. And then repealers in Section 33, Subdivision 1 relates to the Campaign Finance Board Administrative Bill, and in Subdivision 2 of that repealer section relates to the Hennepin County transfer. And Mr. Chair, that's the end of this article, and that's the end of the conference report as drafted.
And then members, is the new title for the bill. So there are any questions on the bill? I see no hands jumping up. Senator Kiffmeyer, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, if we have no questions, then I think a motion to adopt the conference committee report is in order. I just want to pause a moment in case there's anything else from staff.
Anything else from staff? I see Mr. Nobles is on the phone. I see a few other people on the phone. Is there anybody else that wants to comment? Again, seeing no hands jumping up. Senator Kiffmeyer, you want to make the motion?
Yes, I will, Mr. Chair. I move the adoption of the conference committee report, House File 1952, as presented to the conference committee this morning.
So we have a motion on the floor to approve the conference committee report as presented to the committee. I think we need to do a roll call on this. So there aren't any questions on the motion. Ms. Spreck, do you want to take the roll on the approval of the conference committee report? Ms. Spreck.
Yes. Chair Nelson?
Chair Nelson votes aye.
Chair Kiffmeyer?
Aye.
Representative Nash?
Aye.
Senator Carlson?
Aye.
Representative Greenman?
Aye.
Senator Howe?
Aye.
Senator Curran?
Aye.
Senator Lang?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Zhang?
Aye.
The majority of both the House members and Senate members, the motion prevails.
Thank you, Ms. Sprick. The motion prevails. The bill is on its way to the House floor, and hopefully we can get it passed out today and sent to the Senate and get it sent to the governor. Members, any questions before we adjourn? When we find out our targets, if we get those later today, we'll probably get instructions from our leadership when we should reconstitute and start moving forward on getting the appropriations and the remainder of the stuff that we've already agreed to put into a new conference committee report. And that will be, I believe the way that'll work is it'll be bills introduced in the House and the Senate that will be sent to us, to the floor and voted on and then sent to us. And then we'll have to come up with the conference committee report for that. I think they call it a working group till they call a special session. Mm-hmm. Senator Kiffmeyer, is there anything you would like to say before we go?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And I would say yes. For both the House and the Senate, leadership will give us additional instructions. But as Chair Nelson said, that is more than likely the process going to happen. But I would say more than anything, I want to express my appreciation to the House and Senate staff, both the nonpartisan and the partisan. It takes a huge amount of effort from all of those staffs, from our committee administrator, Alec Bjorn, and Ms. Amanda Rudolph, as well as our other staff. And I just really want to say thank you to all of them and appreciate all of your support and your work. And we're gonna need you as we go forward. So we'll be seeing a lot more of each other. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Kiffmeyer. And I too want to express my gratitude to the staff and to the administrations that the people from the governor's administration that have helped us with testimony, but mostly to our staff. You always make us look a lot better than we really are. And our little people that have done the hard work on getting this bill done and this conference committee report done. And again, I want to thank you and a round of applause to all of you, some members. Again, any members, any questions? If not, this meeting's adjourned and see you on the floor.